This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. There was scattered violence in Iraq today. A rocket attack hit a residential district in Baghdad, wounding five Iraqis, and insurgents clashed with U.S. troops in a small town north of the capital. The city of Fallujah is largely quiet now, though U.S. forces still face occasional attacks. They're moving house to house, consolidating their hold on the city. NPR's Anne Garrels was embedded with the 1st Battalion, 3rd Marine Regiment during the offensive in Fallujah. She has the story of some of the young men who fought in that battle.
On the eve of the assault, Marines with the 1-3 teased each other in the darkness.
So everybody's out there building the tents. We're all like, hey, a jet. We all look up and boom! Somebody yells incoming, like, oh!
But their laughter masked fear, and their jokes merely reinforced a mutual loyalty that had come to surpass everything else.
Like being on the ground is like being in a different world, pretty much.
I love my girlfriend death, I love my mom and dad, my brother death, but nobody, I can never be as close to them as I am to these guys. But we live together, we fight together, we laugh, we cry, we do everything together. We know everything about each other.
Most are barely out of their teens. They left big cities with drugs and gangs, and small towns where nothing usually happened. Some come from military backgrounds. Some are immigrants who still don't have their citizenship. What they share is that they wanted more out of the life they had. They believed the Marines when they said, you can be the best. Lance Corporal Brian Robbins, a lanky 22-year-old from New Mexico, had watched his grades drop in college. His heart wasn't in it anymore.
You know, you see a Marine, you hear about the Marines, and everybody kind of takes a second look, thinks about it, you know. So I figured, you know, I hold myself to a high standard, so might as well be part of the best.
22-year-old Corporal Jason Hampton grew up in the slums of Detroit. The Marines offered a way out.
I go back home. All my buddies are on welfare because I had kids with like three different girls. They're into drugs still. They're still living with their parents if they aren't homeless or in jail. I guess I just always wanted more out of life than what was around me. So I joined the Marine Corps because I figured if I just cut myself from all the bad things around me quick, then I could start, you know, doing things on my own.
But would they hack it when the real battle began? That's what haunted them as they waited for the offensive to start. Like 20-year-old Corporal Alex Iallo, whose parents came from El Salvador, most had yet to experience combat.
We all don't know what it's going to be like, you know.
Soon, they would know. In the past 2 weeks, they've moved through Fallujah almost entirely on foot, into the heart of the resistance, rarely protected by tanks or troop carriers, working their way through narrow streets with 75-pound backpacks, full of ammunition and little else. They rarely ever saw an insurgent up close, just an outline through their night vision scopes, the scurry of feet on the rooftops above, or the blast of a muzzle. After a race through a darkened alleyway, Bravo Company checks to make sure everyone's accounted for. A rocket-propelled grenade just landed in their midst, wounding five, two seriously. One Marine has burst eardrums.
I'll be back tomorrow.
No, you won't, because you can't hear nothing. You ain't come back till you can hear, all right?
I don't have that many guys, though.
Well, no, you ain't come back till you can hear. Simple as that.
That's Gunny Kelly talking sense to one of his company. He tries to keep it light, though he's got shrapnel in his own shoulder.
One, two, three, go!
This is not a very nice place to be.
They don't like us here. A guy could get hurt.
The Marines load the most seriously wounded into an armored vehicle which passes for an ambulance. The rest have to wait. Stretched for vehicles and coming under fire, the medevac takes longer than it should. The firefights came quickly and ended quickly. It's not what 20-year-old Chris Bachlin anticipated. Moments of sheer terror interspersed with long stretches of uneasy boredom.
I mean, you watch a lot of movies and Hollywood really hypes things up, but of course, the Hollywood movies and stuff like that, they're not going to show a lot of the downtime because that's not very exciting. So they just show all the action. Never the in-between parts, exactly.
During the fighting, the battalion gained a new member, a tiny puppy they named Lava Dog in honor of their home base, Hawaii. Though filthy themselves, they've lovingly washed him down to get rid of the sand fleas. He sleeps nestled in a Marine poncho. When it's not the thud of mortars or grenades, there's the constant buzz of a Dragon Eye pilotless airplane hovering overhead, as its video cameras beam real-time images back to the base. On the ground, there's no time to think about the big picture. Corporal Jason Hampton says the units know only what's happening a block or two away, and that's about it.
You just keep rolling with the punches and you keep going. because it's no longer about fighting for whatever cause it's for, because it has nothing to do with, oh, this is for Iraq's freedom. It goes to, hey, we're fighting the bad guys, but we're doing it for us. It's just fighting to keep the buddies around you, you know, safe, or fighting, you know, to keep yourself and your buddies alive.
Sometimes that's impossible.
I lost two friends. The machine gun opened up and I lost two guys. Half of my squad went down.
Corporal Alex Ayala was numb, just hoping he survives. The worst of the fighting may be over, but the house-to-house searches now underway are proving more deadly for his company.
It's rough. And chaos is bad, you know. You lose friends, you see friends get hurt. People you love, you know their family hurt, so it's even hard to talk about, you know.
20-year-old Brian Medina from the Philippines hoped to get his citizenship when he got back home. He'd buoyed everyone else, though he confessed to his father he wasn't sure he would make it out alive. He and 21-year-old David Branning were killed in a hail of bullets. Corporal Stuart Rogers was not far behind.
Their little thing that they did was they both kicked in the gate at the same time on every house. It's like their little call sign. They both kicked in and they went in at the same time. When Dave came in, he was looking up at the rooftop in the windows, seeing if there was anybody out there. And they had a machine gun set up right in the window of the living room. And when he looked up, it caught him right underneath the chin. Medina caught it shortly after and got one in the chest and two in the kidneys. I didn't believe it at first. I didn't think it would happen to our platoon. We'd cleared the whole block prior to that. My squad alone had cleared probably six houses and found nothing, no weapons, no anything, you know, just empty houses.
During the fighting, an American cameraman captured images of a Marine allegedly killing an unarmed and wounded Iraqi fighter. The Marines of the 1-3 took the news hard. Jason Hampton says they prided themselves on following strict, sometimes too strict, rules of engagement.
We have to positively ID who's shooting that weapon and make sure that we only take him out and not harm any civilians. It is frustrating, but it's in place for a reason, because we're not here to wipe out every man, woman, and child like people in the States tend to think. We're here to help these people, and maybe these guys will start getting a clue and we'll have more Iraqi civilians helping us out.
So far, the detainees taken by this battalion have provided little or no actionable intelligence. Far from helping them, many fighters have emerged posing as civilians. Staff Sergeant Peter Siao is clearly rattled by this new phase of the battle.
Man, we have a lot of bad people that are intermingled, that specifically intermingle themselves with all the good people, getting chow and medical attention and everything else. So fear for all of them, fear for the Marines that are out there trying to do the right thing. It's a pretty stressful part.
The young Marines want out of Fallujah, but officers realize that's unlikely. Captain Gil Juarez predicts a messy future.
I think from everything I learned so far here in Iraq, is they're going to wait. They're going to wait till the population begins to flourish in Fallujah again so that they can hide amongst them, and they're going to try and target our soft targets. They're going to look for the opportunities where they can inflict casualties on those units or personnel that maybe aren't doing the things they're supposed to be doing at the right time.
Because of continued fighting and the destruction of much of the city and its infrastructure, officials have not ventured even a guess at when civilians might return. Ann Garrels, NPR News.